Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to John chapter 20. And eventually throughout the message, we're going to get through this whole chapter. And you say, oh no, it's going to take forever. We have a ham in the oven there. We have a roast to get to. That's okay, it won't take that long. I promise. It might take close to that long, but not quite. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you're physically able, we're just going to read the first 10 verses here together. I will read the odd verses by myself. You can join me on the even verses out loud, if you would, please. Here in John chapter 20, and beginning in verse 1, the first day of the week, cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth, and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down, and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. We all know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Can I tell you, that's what this Sunday is all about. It's all about that. It's not about candy. We like candy, right? It's not about Easter eggs or things like that. And certainly we like those. I like eggs. I pretty much eat an egg or two for breakfast every day. And we have chickens. They lay eggs. I eat them. And it's fantastic. And when they're done laying eggs, I eat the chicken. So, you know, it's just a great cycle. A lovely thing. But that's not what this day is about. Family. We love family. And I want to thank you families for coming and being together with your loved ones. And listen, that's a joy. But that's not what it's about either. It's all about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Didn't John the Baptist proclaim that? Behold the Lamb of God. You know, we get to celebrate. You say, well, this is such a tragic time. They just a few days ago were calling out, crucify him. Give us Barabbas. Kill this man. This man that healed our sick. This man that raised the dead. This man that caused the blind to see and the lame to walk. This man that we just a few days before that hailed as King of the Jews. Hosanna in the highest. Now we want you to kill him. Wow. What a turnaround. And Jesus Christ, as was the custom and as he was sent, and we have today a crown of thorns, if you will, up here and displayed in the front. Just to show you the sacrifice, the sorrow, the difficulty. Listen, this wasn't just an easy thing. Oh, I'll just go give my life and then I'll take it up again. No big deal. Big deal. I mean, don't forget, the Romans were professional killers, professional torturers. Anybody a fan of history? Okay, one or two people in here. Okay, listen, go back and look. These folks were brutal. No mercy. Guys, look, he's had enough. The cat of nine tails, with pieces of bone, glass, metal. 39 stripes. 40 was said to kill a man.
last in.
Listen, it wasn't just a... No, no. No, these guys had a technique. It was all in the wrist. You've heard that before, right? All in the wrist. No. All in the wrist. It was in. And then hooked. And pulled. Chunks of flesh. Sometimes bone. The Bible tells us that his visage was marred. Didn't even look like a human being. And if you will, a walking piece of hamburger meat going up to the cross. Couldn't even tell that he was a man. For you and for me, Jesus died. And love's greatest story was told. That's what it's about. Oh, but listen. Those are the gruesome details. And how he hung on that cross in great pain and agony. Died. Gave up the ghost. It is finished. Buried. Taken down from the cross. Prepared, as it were. If you'd like to know the timeline of things, you can go back on our YouTube channel or our Facebook channel and see the timeline. Because you know what? Christ was actually in the grave before 6 p.m. Wednesday. Just in case you didn't know that. 3 days. 3 nights. But hallelujah. Sometime after 6 p.m. Saturday evening, up from the grave, he arose. And we have this wonderful scene here that we read in John chapter 20. This first day of the week, which began at 6 p.m. on Saturday. We have the first day of the week. Cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulchre. And seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. And she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. And by the way, if you don't know that, it's John. He's writing the book and he didn't want to necessarily mention his name. So he just used kind of a third person kind of thing going on here. And he says here that they've taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre. And we know not where they've laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. Now, I don't know why John had to put this in here. Perhaps he was just a little bit proud that he was faster than Peter. But it says they ran both together. That would have been enough, right? But he puts in there, he says, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. I just don't you find things I like looking at those interesting things in the Bible, don't you? They just make me smile. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, and yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter. We all know Peter, he was just kind of a bold fellow. And he just kind of probably huffing and puffing at this time, came in there. And seeth the napkin that was laid about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, and but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first, and he saw and believed. And believed. I thought it was interesting, this verse in verse 9 says, for as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. You understand that this was a aha moment for these guys. They're like, oh, I believe. I mean, they believed him. They walked with him and talked with him and dwelt with him for 3.5 years. They saw the miracles. They knew he was the Christ. Peter himself said, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. But it just clicked. Maybe you've heard of Jesus. You've certainly heard of Easter and perhaps all the descriptions that I just spoke to you about. But do you really know him? Oh, he looked in that tomb. He peeked in. He said, wow, I believe. Today, just for a few moments, I want to talk to you about the resurrection. You see, what an unoriginal title for a message. This is Resurrection Sunday. I mean, you couldn't have come up with something better than that. Why? Why? What is the need of a fancy title? Because that's cool enough. The resurrection. Who else has done that? Religious leaders? Anybody? No? Not Muhammad? Not Buddha? Not anybody else? Uh-uh. See, that's cool enough. It's God's plan, this resurrection. We know it's over in Genesis chapter 3. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. You know, there's prophecy after prophecy about God sending his son, Jesus Christ, to be the Savior of the world. And guess what? He came just how the Bible said he was supposed to come. And he did just what the Bible said he was supposed to do. He lived a perfect life. He showed the signs and wonders that the Jews required a sign of, that he was the Messiah, the promised one, the one who would save them from their sins. It was God's plan all along that he would live, die, be buried, but then rise up again. That was God's plan. It wasn't a surprise. Oh no, they're going to kill him. They're really going to do it. See, that never occurred to God because that was the plan all along. Concerning the resurrection, it's God's plan. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 12. Matthew, chapter 12. Look at verse 38. Matthew 12 and verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. For there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with his generation, with this generation, and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. This is God's plan all along. He even gives a sign in the Old Testament of what it was to be. Now just flip a few more pages to Matthew 16. And verse 21 through 23. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes. Did you notice here that it says that he must go and suffer many things? It was the plan all along that he would be killed. Oh, but that's not the end. And be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. He said, No, Jesus, they're not going to kill you. No, we're not going to let this happen. Remember, Peter was kind of uptight about this, wasn't he? So uptight, he just took out a sword and went, Whoosh. You don't need that ear. Yeah, either he intended to do that or he was just a bad shot with the sword. I mean, I don't know. He said, No, we're not going to... But he says, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. You see here? It was the plan all along. This is what needed to be done. Hey, guess what? Without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. Your sins, my sins, the sins of the whole world had to be paid for. And bulls and goats don't cut it. Had to be the perfect, sinless blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
designed to be God's plan. Just one more chapter over, Matthew 17. Look at verse 22. Now you can find these accounts in all of the Gospels. But we're going to stick in Matthew. I did that for your sake, so you wouldn't have to flip all over the place, okay? Look at Matthew 17. And while they abode in Galilee, verse 22. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men. And they shall kill him. And the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. A few more chapters over to Matthew 20. Beginning in verse 17. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and to the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock, and to scourge, and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. Hey, have I emphasized to you enough that this thing of the resurrection was God's plan all along? It was God's plan all along. Remember, as Jesus went out into the night and went to pray on the Mount of Olives, he said to him, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. This is God's directive, his plan, all along. Remember what Paul said over in Acts 17 to those as he preached to them on Mars Hill, telling them about the unknown God that they served ignorantly. He said that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at. But now commandeth that all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. This is God's plan all along. Here's what happens. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Folks, some are going to mock at this. Oh, that's just a story. That's just one of those Sunday school stories that y'all talk. That didn't really happen. Hey, the chief priests and the elders, remember when Pilate told them to make sure? And they put the guards there. They put the seal of Caesar there. I mean, this was solid. But he still arose. Then they paid off the soldiers. Just like they tried to pay off Judas. They did it anyways, didn't they? Some mocked. But then it says that some mocked, but some believed. Others said, we'll hear thee again. We'll think about it. So Paul departed from among them, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed. Some believed. It's God's plan all along. To send his son, give his life a ransom for many, so that we could be born again. He raised him from the dead. No other religious leader can say that, can they? Only our Savior is God's plan. Well, not only that, take your Bibles and go back to our text in John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Look at verse 11. I told you we'd get to some of the rest of the chapter here. But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And when they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Later on in the same chapter, we see how Jesus appears to them. And he comes and one guy's not at church. And then in verse 24, he decides to show up and Jesus comes again. Can I tell you something about this resurrection? Not only was God's plan all along, but the proof is real. The proof is real. This is not just a fairy tale. This is a real thing that really happened. Right. And can I say with just a caveat, even though I believe this with all my being, it has to be accepted by faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith. It's faith, folks. You know, you could say this book is a fairy tale. I believe it's the very word of God by faith. Or you can say that none of this happened, listen, Jesus just fainted. And when they put him in the tomb, you know, after a little while, he just, you know, came back to life. Oh, they have proof of that in medicine. You know, some people are pronounced dead, but then they put him in the morgue locker and they wake up. No, folks, he didn't just faint. But besides, can we go back to the fact that these Romans were professional killers? When they pierced his side and that blood and water came out around the sac of the heart, that signifies a bursted heart. And if I didn't say that right in English, praise God, because I like to defy English every time I get a chance. But you know what? That's medically scientific. It was real. He really died. And he really was buried. And that tomb was really sealed. And listen, those soldiers that were placed around there, they were putting their lives at stake. Remember the Philippian jailer? Remember him? When the earthquake came and all the prison doors were opened, what was his first reaction? He's about to kill himself. Why? Because that was not accepted in the Roman army. For them to fail at a task meant certain death. And for them to let the disciples come and steal him away? Really? You think a bunch of fishermen are going to overpower professional soldiers? What are you smoking? Okay? Ain't happening. I'm just telling you. The proof is real. Well, we could go over scripture and scripture and scripture and scripture and scripture. Hey, listen, there were many people that certified the death of Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Mark 15. And now when even was come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went boldly unto Pilate. And craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled. Listen to this. Pilate marveled if he were already dead. Okay, this guy had experienced crucifixion after crucifixion after crucifixion. You understand? He was not a newbie to this. He's not a rookie. And calling unto him the centurion and asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. Folks, it was certified. Certified. It's real. Oh, the resurrection was God's plan all along. Oh, the resurrection, it really happened. It's real. Jesus Christ came, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, died, buried, and yes, rose again. He rose again. Over in 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible tells us, "For moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12. And after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remaineth unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles. I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored the more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed." What a witness list. Even some names in there, not just ambiguous statements. It was real. Jesus really came. Jesus really lived. Jesus really died. Jesus really rose again. It's real. Take your Bibles and go back to John chapter 20. We'll wrap things up. All have candy on the brain. You only do because I keep reminding you of it. You're doing a great job listening. I can see that. Look at verse 19. John chapter 20 and verse 19. "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were, assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be with you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were his disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said unto them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst." That's cool. "And said, Peace be unto you. Then he saith unto Thomas." He must have had a listening device in the room or something, right? Or a guy on the inside, an insider that told him what Thomas said. "Hey, Lord, you know what Thomas said about you? Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? All right, I'm going to get him." No. No, he knew. Because he's God, right? "Then saith he unto Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing." Remember what it said about John as he beat Peter to the tomb, right, but didn't go in. Peter went in first, and then John came in, and it says that he looked around, he saw these things, and he did what? He believed. He said, "Thomas, don't be faithless." He said, "But believe Jesus saith unto him, or Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. Listen to this. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Hey, not only is the resurrection God's plan, not only is it real, but the results are lasting. The results of the resurrection are lasting. What do you say? What are you saying, Pastor? Everlasting life. We get to live because he died and was buried and rose again. Well, may I say that again? We get to live forever because he died and was buried and rose again. Hey, the results are lasting. John himself in verse 31 said, these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing, ye might have life through his name. Oh, what a wonder. The everlasting results of the resurrection of Christ. Hey, it truly is a day of celebration. Oh, listen, we're not hanging our heads and we're not, oh, this is so bad. We read the examples, you know. Hey, what's the matter, Mary? Why are you weeping? What's wrong? Oh, where's our Lord? Please tell me where you put him. Mary. Oh, Jesus. Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't y'all like to be Mary? Wouldn't that be awesome? Man. You know, the results are truly everlasting. Has Jesus changed your life? He's changed my life. Oh, I remember as a kid, listen, overall, I guess I was a good kid. I went to church. I lived in a quote-unquote Christian home. Probably the worst thing I ever did was maybe disobey my parents or hit my little sister or something like that. Like all brothers do, I suppose, if you have a little sister. We'll talk to your brother later. But, you know, things like that. But, I'll use what everybody else is. I never killed anybody. I'm not that bad. Oh, but listen, when I was 8 years old, my mom and dad asked me, Eric, have you ever asked Jesus to be your Savior? No. I knew he was the Savior. I've been taught that in Sunday school. You know what? I believed it. But I never asked him to save me. Oh, listen, I've been told all the Bible stories, and I believe that this old book was the Word of God. Oh, I knew about the Christmas story, how a little baby came in a manger, born of a virgin, the angels were singing, the shepherds rejoiced, and the three wise men came. You know, we've heard all that. How he grew up and lived a perfect life. And how one day the crowd said, crucify him. And I knew the Easter story of how Jesus Christ died and was buried and how he rose again from the dead. Listen, I all those thoughts were in my mind. I knew all those things. I'd heard them before. But I had never asked Jesus to save me. And that day, as an 8.5-year-old little boy, I knelt down by my bed. And I prayed and I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins. You say, oh, but you just said you weren't so bad. Oh, but once I really thought about it, I realized I was. You know, the Bible tells us there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners, folks. And we all need a Savior. Jesus Christ is that Savior. And I confessed my sins before the Lord and I said, Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me my sin. And give me your gift of eternal life. And that summer, 1985, I was born into the family of God. Because I accepted Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, as my Savior. What a joy. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what it's had, you know what's had on my life? Lasting results. Lasting results. Oh, this resurrection of the Lord, this resurrection of the Savior, it's God's plan. It's real. And the results are lasting. Changed my life. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's what Jesus does for us. Over in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul writes to the church in Ephesus and says to them, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power, and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. What a wonder, the resurrection of the Lord. I hope that after today, you don't look at Easter the same anymore. Today, if you know about Christ, but he's not your Savior, today can be the day of salvation for you. If you know Christ as your Savior, you should never be the same. You should celebrate truly the resurrection of your Savior. More and more and more as we see the day approaching. He's coming again, folks. Are you looking upward? Do you have your eyes fixed on heaven? Or are they fixed on this world? The results are lasting. We ought to set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. I just hope that this day is special to you. Not because of candy. Not because of eggs. Not because of family. Not because of a holiday. But rather, because of Jesus Christ, the resurrected Savior.